WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
Hey, good evening. Not even going to say good afternoon. I'm going to say I'm kind of frustrated right now. I just had an experience that I think many of us are starting to see on a regular basis. Sometimes I wonder why I followed through, and I'll get to that in just a bit. It's Friday, the end of the traditional work week, October 24. Oddly enough, even though it's a Friday, it's Black Thursday. You go all the way back into the 1920s. This was the day that the stock market went whoosh, and that led to the crash of 1929. It's also United Nations Day. Yep, we said hello to the UN on this date in 1945. Land set aside in New York City by some very, very rich guy. I want to say it was a Rockefeller. Yep, one of the Rockefellers. Do you know Annie Edson? Have you ever heard Annie Edson's name before? She is the 63-year-old woman. And she was 63 back in 1901. She decided, well, what the heck? And she went over Niagara Falls in a barrel and survived. I got to tell you, if you go over Niagara Falls and you survive and the media knows about it, don't you know other people are going to try the same thing? And they have. They did. And now I guess it's a crime to try to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel. One would say that's a victimless crime and you should be allowed to do it. I think it's a little daredevilish, but to make it a crime? My personal opinion. Kill Devil Hills, North Carolina, 1911. There's Orville Wright in a glider hanging upside down for more than 9 minutes. Not bad. Guess that was the first time anybody in the States was able to stay upstairs for 9 minutes. We talked a scant bit about this yesterday. President Eisenhower, you think about the Vietnam conflict, war, whatever title you want to give it, but it was Eisenhower back in 1954 that pledged United States support to South Vietnam. And of course, with the assistance of Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon. I don't know what we were pledging back in 1954, but I do know that some advisors under Eisenhower did go to South Vietnam. Can you say what a mistake? The Brian's Beat quote of the day. Each person must live their life as a model for others. Each person must live their life as a model for others. Rosa Parks with that quote. 508-996-0500. So, I'm sitting in the chair I'm sitting in right now, preparing some last-minute notes for the show. And my phone rings, my cell phone. And you know how sometimes it will say possibly spam or something like what? In this particular case, it put up a name as if I should know this company or this person. So, okay, I figure, yeah, and could be somebody for one of my shows. So I figure I'll answer. And this guy in broken English begins to talk about me, knows my name, knows my address, knows my some of my health records, and I don't know jack about this guy. And he's trying to tell me about something that, you know, he wants to take some more information, get some more stuff from me. And then what he's going to do is send that information to my doctor and to see if they can help me. I never reached out to this company. I don't know how they got my information, but the way the guy was talking, he's got information not only on me, but just about everybody with my healthcare provider, with the state, all of this stuff. And so he was basically asking me for my, in this particular case, for my height, for whatever contraption he wants to give to me, get to me, whatever the case may be. I was getting frustrated because he knew too much about me and I didn't know anything about him. And so I'm trying to let him know, and I'm trying to be composed. I'm trying to be composed. You know, I can get a little uptight every once in a while. I'm trying to let this guy know that, you know, I don't think I want to go any further. And as I say that, it's like he's giving me the salesman breath. And he keeps on going, "Don't worry, Brian." And, you know, I got to the point, you know how I can bang on the table? Well, guess who banged on the table to try to let this guy know, you're talking over me and you're not listening. I'm trying to tell you, I don't want to give you any information. And he kept on going. Now, I probably could have just hung up the phone. But I didn't. I said, look, you've got this information. You give it to my doctor, and the next time I talk to my doctor, we can talk about it, and then I know that you are a reputable company. Otherwise, I'm not going to go any further with this. And you know what? It's like he wasn't listening to me. He kept on going. So finally, guess who hit hang up on the phone? I could not believe this. I think I still, just to let you know, in case you get a call from this company, I think I still have it on the phone who this jerkola was, or the company that he represents. Just one second here. Maybe you've heard of them, because quite frankly, I have not. Let's see. Wicked Licks. And it pops up on my phone like they're in my contacts. Maybe they are. But I don't know Wicked Licks. I don't know who this guy was. He did mention his name, but as I said, it was in broken English, and I wasn't, I was kind of surprised. Anyway, beware. The idiots are out there, and I can be just as much of an idiot back at the idiots. 508-996-0500. Doesn't that just frustrate the ever-living heck out of you? You know, I answer the phone. Maybe I shouldn't have answered the phone. Okay, anyway, be that as it may. How do you feel about this? And those that follow me on Facebook, you've had a chance to read what I wrote. Amazon is going to be replacing 600,000 workers' paychecks with robots. Now, Amazon is no rookie when it comes to robotics. First of all, let's talk about Amazon. There's a huge Fulfillment Center in Fall River. You may have gone by, may have gone in it, may know somebody who has worked over there. I do know a couple of people that used to work there, and they gave me horror stories. This one girl that I used to see over at Market Basket, as you know, just an acquaintance, she was telling me about things, you know, she'd never had time to go to the bathroom. They were constantly working. You couldn't talk with other employees, just work, work, work. Well, you know, part of me was, it is a workplace. This is before I knew a little bit more about all that Amazon was doing to its employees. But she said, look, you know how I used to work over at Market Basket. I was never not working. I might have carried on a conversation, but I was always working. And I said, yeah, that's that person. It could never be like that. And when you don't have time to go to the bathroom, and especially if you're doing more than number one, sometimes you need more than 35, 40 seconds. True. And as I started to learn a little bit more about Amazon, what they try to do, you know, there are work environments that have different types of work strategies. Some you try to give your employees a lot of benefits because you want to retain the employee. Amazon seems to be just the opposite, especially when it comes to warehouse workers. They intend to work you to the bone, so you don't get a raise and you end up leaving the company. That opens up the door for the next person to come in to go through the same type of harassment, if that's what you want to call it. Again, they don't want to be giving step raises. Now, by adding more robotics, and Amazon seems to have about 30% of their workforce is robotic, even more so when it comes to the fulfillment centers. And according to, and I get a kick out of this one, leaked documents that the New York Times somehow, some way got their hands on, by dropping the employees, not firing them, but not rehiring a new person to take the person who went through the revolving door, Amazon hopes to save 30 cents per shipped package by doing this. And they've got plenty of bean counters. They know. Now, they're not just going to let people go and, you know, next week, 600,000 people aren't going to be hired. They expect this to be a 5 to 8 year project. I believe 2033 is when they will be replacing all 600,000 employees. Saving 30 cents per shipped package. You're talking billions of dollars. Now, what I remember writing this up, and I said, well, let's see. How much are they going to take off the price of whatever item that's being shipped? And I didn't see anything, nothing remotely mentioning that this is going to save us, the buyers, some money. So basically, this is leading to the bottom line and to those that have stock in Amazon. In fact, if you have the inclination, you might want to buy stock in Amazon right now. And there'll be some other companies, because my guess is Amazon is rolling this out. They probably didn't want the word to get out as quickly as it has. And they're not denying that this is part of the policy. They're just saying, you know, sometimes you can read a little bit more into what the policy is and what it really is. Believe them. They intend to replace 600,000 workers over the next 8 years with robots. Okay, look, that's a sign of the times. I don't think anybody's really that surprised. So why not just come out and tell folks? We know what you've been doing. You've been hit up on work-related charges before. You may have been able to skirt them, but you've been hit up on. People know. All right, this is what Amazon does. 600,000 workers. That's Amazon. If you are a company like Walmart, a little bit different. Walmart, they may not pay you a lot at the beginning, but they do like to hire from within. I don't know what's going to happen with Walmart and their fulfillment centers. Walmart, I think, is the number one employer in the United States. Amazon's number two with 1.5 something million employees. I don't know if all of those employees are based in the United States. I know some of the employees are pilots. But think about it. How much is Amazon going to save? Okay, we know the 30 cents. We know that 30 cents from every shipped item. Does that mean or include the fact that the company's not going to be paying health insurance for 600,000 people? Or better way of putting it, what kind of health insurance do you put out there for robots? What kind of premium will the robot be paying? You know they won't. What about robot rent? Nah. Robot vacation and holiday pay? No. Robot social security benefits? No. All of that. Now, is that part of the 30 cents? I don't know. But if it's not, this is a boon for Amazon. And again, I'm not big on the stock market, but Amazon making this announcement, I'm sure the stock price is going to start going right up. What would be the next company to try to do something like this? Maybe a UPS? They've got, I don't know, they don't call them fulfillment centers or FedEx. Companies like that, where they're already using drones, but they can use more robots and replace the people that work in the warehouses. I think that this is just going to be the way of the world, and we should get used to it, because if we don't, it's going to hit us right there in the face. Speaking of hitting us in the face, I have been watching, hopefully you have been watching the television news. And again, the Congress is out of session. So I was waiting to see if maybe the Democrats would have capitulated and decided, well, okay, we're going to agree. And now we can get the federal government open again. I wasn't expecting, but I was watching to see, well, are you going to do it? Because there's a whole bunch of talk about the food stamp benefits not coming out. And We can be pointing fingers all day. Who's at fault? I think both sides. And to me, there are only two sides right now. It's a Republican side in Congress, and it's a Democrat side in Congress. Both sides are to blame. I'm not going to try to figure out which one has the heavier hand than the other, but I do believe as the federal government workers open up their eyes and see that they're not going to get a full paycheck if the government doesn't open up over the next 4 or 5 days, or there's no vote to open it up over the next 4 or 5 days, that they're not going to get a full paycheck. Apparently, some workers got half a paycheck the end of or the middle of the month. But this will be a whole paycheck that they don't get. How much longer can they go? And I say this as a person who wants small government. I think many programs need to be cut. And I'd be glad to break out the shears and start doing the cutting. But there's a way to do it and there is a way not to do it. And what's happening right now, to me, is definitely not the way to do it. The Congress people may not be getting a paycheck. They may not be drawing a paycheck, and shame on them if they are. But it's not like they need that paycheck. It's not like they're really worried about next month's rent, the utility bills, the car payment. How about groceries? Our Congress people aren't worried about that. But the people who work for the congressmen and women, the senators, the people that work at the White House, the staffers I'm talking about. I'm not talking about people that are in the echelons of White House or of the Trump administration. These people need their checks. Sad reality, they need it. If they don't have it, I just have a bad feeling inside of my gut. Now, as far as the food stamps part, I have been hearing from folks, you know, good, let them go without. What's the Trump administration doing? Is it really the Trump administration? I suppose we can say that the administration does have a level of power over the Republicans in the Senate. But this is something that's happening in Congress. The senators could break away. The Republican senators could break away if they wanted to. The Democratic senators, they could bend that knee and say, okay, we will negotiate after. They're wise enough to realize that's really not going to go anywhere. But they could. They could say, okay, we'll sign. I get the feeling we're going to be heading into November, and this government shutdown will still be going on, and there are going to be people screaming bloody murder because they're not getting their SNAP benefits. And the longer they go without their SNAP benefits, especially the U.S. citizens, you know, the ones that can vote, they will remember this come Election Day, November 2026. Now, how are they going to vote? I'm not going to say they're going to look at the Democrats and say, you guys were right and vote for the Democrats, or look at the Republicans and say, you guys were right and vote for the Republicans. I am saying they are going to remember. 508-996-0500. That's how you get onto the program. Brian's Beat on WBSM.
This is WBSM.
It's Shake and Bake, and I help.
I can't answer your call right now, but it is important to me.
That won't happen at Low Cost Air. When you dial 800-221-6085, a real person answers and helps you find your best airfares, foreign and domestic. Your choice. Automation.
Please leave a message with your name and number.
Or a real person. Low Cost Air, 800-221-6085. Low Cost Air, 800-221-6085.
Back to Brian's Beat.
Making a choice to cut off food for people right now. He needs to reverse that. We need to feed our families.
Well, you heard from the governor. One of the things about this whole thing dealing with food, I think Massachusetts is in better shape than maybe some of the other states out there. The governor is right if the president doesn't bend his knee and talk to the Republicans in the Senate to say, hey, look, we can't let these people go hungry. However, did you know that Massachusetts has a rainy day fund? And inside the rainy day fund is $8 billion of our tax dollars for the folks on Bacon Hill to spend the way that they pretty much think it should be spent. $8 billion tax dollars in a savings account. Don't you wish you had a little extra money in your savings account so you could take care of your own food, your own electricity, your own gas bill, your rent? You know, the things that the yous and me's constantly complain about. The state government has a rainy day fund. Read that as a savings account. They can take our money and have leftovers and say, oh, well, it's not really leftover. It's in a rainy day because you never know when something bad might happen. Okay. All right. I'm not convinced, but going down that road, wouldn't it? I think the federal government gives $240 million every month to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts for the SNAP program. So you mean to tell me you've got $8 billion collecting interest and you can't take $240 million out to make sure that your own people here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts can be fed? Is that what I'm understanding? Let me give you an idea here. I wish I could be making this up, but you heard from the governor. Mike Rodericks is a state senator from Westport. And I think he's part of the Ways and Means Committee. He does something with money up on Bacon Hill. Your money, my money. Here's what Mike Rodericks has to say.
We just cannot backfill all these federal cuts, nor should we backfill all these federal cuts.
You've got $8 billion, and you're saying that you shouldn't, that the federal, it's on the federal government to take care of Massachusetts people. Really? I'm sorry. It's bad enough that you are taking the money and saving it for whatever you believe is the right thing to do with the money. But now you've got people, and look, I'm in belief that there are some people that are really on the down and out here in the Commonwealth, and they need that money. They need those SNAP benefits. that they're not going to just go out willy-nilly and spend the money on Cheetos and sugary drinks and whatnot. There are people that do need the money. And I'm not talking about people that are here undocumented. There are people, there are elderly folks, there are kids. There are single parents that do work and they need this money. And you're going to sit on your keister and tell us, nor should we give it out. Listen to this pompous you-know-what.
We just cannot backfill all these federal cuts, nor should we backfill all these federal cuts.
Oh, my. Now, there are some federal cuts besides SNAP. And we know the federal government is trying to make these cuts. Some of the cuts I wholeheartedly agree with. Some I say, you know what? This is not the right way to do it. But, okay, there's going to be a time. I believe that time is happening right now with this particular administration that we, the people, are going to need to speak up because there are going to be federal programs that are going to be cut, permanently cut. We've got a president who wants to get rid of, dismantle, abolish the U.S. Department of Education. And that's going to mean some programs. It's going to be up to the Commonwealth to figure out which ones we're going to pick up and which ones we're not. Hopefully the voters have a say in it. Same thing with health care. There are going to be Medicaid cuts that the federal government is trying to get out of, whether you like it or not. It's going to happen. And it's going to be up to we, the people here in the Commonwealth. Do we want to pick up that tab? How much of that tab do we want to pick up? $8 billion. And Skin and Flint Rodericks doesn't want to give up any of that money.
They're coming in health care. They're coming in food assistance. They're coming in housing assistance. We could drain that rainy day fund in a week.
Yeah, I guess you could. But here's the thing, you're sitting on the rainy day fund right now, and you've got people here in the Commonwealth that are worried that they're not going to be able to go to the grocery store and get some food starting next month. And you're worried about depleting part of the rainy day fund. Let's make some decisions here, Senator Rodericks. And I don't want to just point the finger at the Democrats. Yep, there's Maura Healey, there's Rodericks, there's Mariano, there's Spilka. But you know, there's a guy by the name of Bruce Tarr. Bruce Tarr has been, he was a state rep at one time. He is now the Senate minority leader. He's a Republican. He's been around for age. Dude has been around, to my knowledge, since the 1990s. And what does he say? This is Senator Tarr.
Priority should be reopening the government so that we don't have to contend at the state level with things that we are ill-equipped to handle.
Ill-equipped to handle. $8 billion and we are ill-equipped to handle. I'll give Senator Tarr this one little kudo. He didn't blame the Trump administration. He didn't blame the Democrats. He didn't blame anybody. He just says he thinks that the federal government should be open to handle these things. Excuse me. The state should handle these things. Yeah. What do you think guys like John Adams, George Wash, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, how do you think they would view what's going on right now? Would they, food stamps? SNAP benefits? Federal government? They would say, no, that's the purview of the states. They would say, see, that's why we've got this 10th Amendment. It is not in the Constitution for us to handle. That leaves it up to the states or the people. And in this particular case, I could see it right now. And you've got $8 billion in a rainy day fund, and you want to look at the federal government? Whew. That would start a revolutionary war in and of itself. 508-996-0500. I can't believe that Senator Tarr, Senator Rodericks, and his comment. I mean, just listen to this. And it doesn't it just make you want to gag?
We just cannot backfill all these federal cuts, nor should we backfill all these federal cuts.
The problem is the fact that we have the federal programs, the federal funding in the first place. My guess is, I don't know when Senator Rodericks first got up on Bacon Hill, but obviously he likes chewing on that fat because he believes that $8 billion is his to try to determine what to do with, along with some other Bacon Hill lawmakers. Instead of taking care of the people of the Commonwealth who really need, you know, means test, do whatever you need to do to figure out who really needs the SNAP benefits. And then dole out to the people that are deserving. My guess is, you know, this federal government shutdown isn't going to last a year. And if you take $240 million and you multiply that by 12, I think, what do you get? Less than $3 billion. Not that you're going to be eating up this whole rainy day account. But, and you know, maybe it's, again, I think this is a huge game. I don't think Senator Rodericks, Senator Tarr, Spilka, Mariano, the governor, they're not going home hungry. They're not worried about SNAP benefits being available for them. They don't have to worry about their health care. All that's taken care of. But when it comes to you and your neighbors, well, look, they're the people that are pulling the puppet strings. And it's pretty sad. It really is sad. This one of the reasons why I have a hard time voting for any Democrat is because of lines like what we're hearing right here from this state senator. I'm just pissed off that they would even go down this kind of road.
They're coming in health care. They're coming in food assistance. They're coming in housing assistance. We could drain that rainy day fund in a week.
Hey, my guess is there are people here in the Commonwealth that would be okay with the rainy day fund being drained in a week if it took care of the people properly. Took care of the people. It's a little maddening to think that you've got $8 billion of our dollars. You could not give any of this money back to the hurting families here in the Commonwealth, or even the families that aren't hurting. You have to hoard that money as if you know better how to use that money, my money, than I do. What gives you the right? It seems to me that we had a war back in the mid to late 1700s over something similar to this, except it's happening right here in our own state by our own people, not from folks over in England that were levying taxes for tea and a few other things. They've got $8 billion in reserve. I'm not trying to say that there should not be any money in reserve, but if it's for a rainy day and you can sit on your soapbox and tell us that the federal government should be spending the money, and you've got the money, and you've got hungry people waiting. I'm sorry, Senator. I'm sorry, Governor. Governor, the governor is just as bad. She's great at pointing fingers.
He is making a choice to cut off food for people right now. He needs to reverse that. We need to feed our families.
Well, Governor, this is what I would say. You are the governor. I would be sitting down with the top leaders of your party, Spilka, Mariano, and say, look, if nothing changes by, I know you give me a date, the 27th, that would be Monday, 29th would be Wednesday, that the state will have to take matters into its own hands, and we're going to need to release enough money to cover what the federal government isn't covering right now. Because, quite frankly, you've had some time. You could have had our people here in the Commonwealth try to figure out who is deserving and who is not deserving. But it's more fun for you to just say what the president is doing. By the way, I have to sit here and really think about it. Is this what the president of the United States is doing? Or is this what Congress is doing? Is this the work of Mike Johnson, Hakeem Jeffries, Chuck Schumer, Teal? I mean, who is really orchestrating this? I said Teal. Thune is who I meant. 508-996-0500. I don't know what to really say about this, except that if the people don't get their food, I don't think that they can go like what we saw over the past several months in the Gaza Strip, where Israel is pounding that area with bombs. No matter how you feel about what Israel did, we know what they did. They decimated the area. They killed people. They starved folks. This is nothing to dispute. And yet, I don't know that people here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, state of Maine, some of the other states in the country, if they have a rainy day fund and they don't use it, I don't think we, the people, could go 2 weeks without food. And my guess is there are a lot of people that are on SNAP or food stamps. They get so little money. It's a lot of money as far as we, the taxpayers, but as far as groceries, the price of groceries nowadays, they're getting so little money that they're waiting for that next check to come so they can go get food for their family. And if they can't feed their family, I don't want to see what happens. I really don't. I, you know how people are when they get angry and hungry. I just don't want to. I don't want to see anything explosive. And I don't want to see how the White House would respond to something like that. And it seems to me, you may think I'm wrong about this, but it seems to me that at least in the interim, This could be answered right here in the Commonwealth by having Bacon Hill lawmakers stop thinking about themselves and open up and say, look, federal government's giving $240 million each month. We can, at least for the next couple of months, give some of that money until the federal government decides that they're going to stop their little game that they're playing. 508-996-0500. That's my feeling on it. What's yours?
The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised.
WBSM.
The government may be shut down. Legitimate business funding remains open. See for yourself at legitimatebusinessfunders.com. Legitimatebusinessfunders.com.
Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
Priority should be reopening the government so that we don't have to contend at the state level with things that we are ill-equipped to handle.
$8 billion, and we are ill-equipped to handle it. That is what we're hearing. We are ill-equipped to handle it. Oh, well. What do we know? If we're ill-equipped, why don't you give the taxpayers back some of the money? You're holding on to $8 billion and you can't fix a highway or a road or take care of the pothole. You are squeezing the people. And Bacon Hill lawmakers have been doing this to us for far too long. I think it needs to stop. I'm back tomorrow, 1 o'clock, Freedom Fools, right here on WBSM. Paul gets you started at...